Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, here on the AEW Review, stepping in this week. I'm not with Andy Datson today. He's been with me for Raw and NXT. We've got Mr. Laurie Blake here for this
one. Hi, Laurie. I drew the... It wasn't as short a straw as Andy drew for Christmas.
Yes.
But, you know, it's still working on the Thursday between Christmas and New Year's. Dynamite was good. Mm-hmm. It was fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, here I am. I'm not happy about it.
This is what I said in this week leading up, because I've had to do Raw and NXT and now AEW. And I was like, Raw and NXT, like, nearly goddamn broke me this week. And I was like, it's fine. I've got AEW. But I was like, just watch when it's like one of the worst Dynamites they've ever done. And you know what? Dynamite was, it was good. And it's probably one of the weaker Dynamites they've done in quite a while, which is just, come on, guys. Throw me a bone. Come on, just give me a blowaway show.
But they're saving all the stuff for next week, mate. They're moving, aren't they? So, you know,
but I'm not
new
reviewing that show.
I know. Well, you can't blow your load the week before.
I know. It's just...
Otherwise, how are we going to have any stuff left in the tank?
Yeah. But
these
also...
are all masturbation related.
Okay. I don't understand how, on the two podcasts this week I did with Andy, we've had two separate conversations about poo. We've gone a minute and a half into this podcast and we're talking about masturbation. What is it with us and this podcast where we just talk about weird stuff?
We're just a waist down kind of channel, Pete. We're just a waist down kind of guys. Never mind talking about your top half. Belly button's not very interesting, is it? Doesn't do anything. It's all below.
I genuinely don't have anything to say to that.
I've genuinely stumped him.
I've not got anything.
Merry
to
Christmas
say to that at all. Yeah. Speaking of, how was your Christmas?
Yeah, it was all right. You know, I went down to London for a couple of days to see my family. Mm-hmm. Really felt like driving into the apocalypse, as everyone I know who lives in London was like, "Wow, it's bad down here." Everyone I know has COVID-19. Everyone's got the Unicron virus. So yeah, it did feel a bit like driving into the end of the earth, but you know, it was fine. Just rocked up and then just didn't leave the shelter of my dad's house, and then came back, which was good. Yeah. Apart from hitting every single bit of traffic on the way back, so it was a nice Christmas. It was like pretty chill, really. Mm. Drank a bottle of wine every day for 3 days. So that's, you know, what more do you want?
Yeah, that's decent. You get any good presents?
I got a new watch. Here it is. Ooh. Here's my watch, which I'm very pleased with. Nice. What was the best present? Now, the watch was the best present, but I will claim it was the Kinesio tape that I got given just now. So I will claim it's something pointless and useful. So there you go.
Yeah, very nice.
How about you? How was yours?
Yeah, no, it was good. I got to go back to my parents, which was nice. I was going to get public transport to them, but that changed to parents, come pick me up, please. COVID's bad. Please come pick me up. So they came and picked me up, which is nice. And yeah, got to spend the day with them. Got to see my grandparents. That was really nice. Haven't seen them in a little while. And I got a video I'm going to really like. I'm gonna cherish for a while, because my nan, who's been going through dementia for quite a few years now, got a video of her dancing to Sweet Caroline with my mum, and she's like half singing the words, and it's really sweet, which was great. So I got video of that, which was nice. Got to go see them, and yeah, just had a chill out day. Played three games of Ticket to Ride with my parents, won all three of them. It was a good time. Yeah, it was nice. Drank quite a lot. Yeah, that was my time. But tell you what, though, I got from my lady partner, I got two new D&D books.
All right, which ones did you get?
Oh, so I got Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes, which was nice. The top of my list of what I wanted. By the way, she has no interest in D&D. She doesn't know anything about it. She just guessed. She just saw what ones I had, and she was like, I won't get any of those. I'm just going to pick two at random. And then she picked the one that I wanted the most. Awesome. And I also got Fizban's Treasury of Dragons. Which is also very cool, and it's given me some ideas for stuff. So big success all around. So yeah, that was good. It was a good time.
Fizzbands is good. I got gifted the Monster Manual and Volo's Guide to Monsters, which I have read previously, but I haven't owned. So I'm just rounding out my collection of D&D books now.
Yeah, Volo's, there's some really good stuff in it.
I got some Optimus bookends to keep them between as well.
So. Nice.
Expect Lovely. To see those in the back of a shot at some point.
With that said, let's get into the main show. We've got the outro to do afterwards. But first thing we're going to be talking about is this whole Adam Cole story that's going on. Who is he going to side with? We don't know, between Red Dragon and the Young Bucks. He's caught it between a buck and a hard place. So we'll figure that one out. What's Adam Cole doing? Let's talk about it. Whose side is Adam Cole on? Adam Cole on? That sounds...
Crazy.
We don't know, because he's torn between like the Undisputed Era and the Young Bucks, and we don't know what's going on with Adam Cole, which got furthered on this show. How will they coexist? We don't know. Welcome to the Rust Talk Podcast review of AEW Dynamite New Year's Smash, I think. Was this one, right? This was New Year's Smash. And then next week is just the first episode of TBS, which is a bigger deal. And then we got Battle of the Belts after that. Oh my God, so much going on. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell. I'm joined by Laurie Blake, El Fakador Laurie Blake, on this episode of the AEW Dynamite review. Send in your Ultra Chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll go through all of those, all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. But first, we're going to be talking about this whole Adam Cole situation, because we had last week Kyle O'Reilly debuting, and he was already teasing a little bit of attention, being like, oh no, I like my Young Bucks, but I like also my NXT pals. I don't know what to do anymore. And then that got furthered on this show. We had a little backstage segment earlier in the show, which was lots of tension between these five. There was the Bucks being like, well, freaking Kyle O'Reilly's here. And Kyle was like, oh yeah, I'm here now. Sorry, guys. And he's got heat with Cole. Like, loads of people are getting back and forth at each other and not liking the fact that other people are there. We had a private word with Adam Cole saying that, yeah, man, we have heat, but... you know, the key, this is AEW, and the key to success in AEW is to have a faction. That's what AEW is all about. So, you know, I know Bobby Fish is going to have my back tonight. I guess I'm just going to wait and see if you've got mine. And it's all just like, how will they coexist? A lot of tension. And then he kicked him in the head, yeah. Which was as part of the main event match, which was Best Friends versus Disputed Era, I suppose is what we're calling them now, which isn't their actual name. Don't worry. But they had a really fun match. I enjoyed myself so much on this main event match. Just personally, because I loved Undisputed Era in NXT. They are my babies. So just seeing the three of them do an entrance together again, I was like, oh, my babies are back. And that made me very happy. But the match itself was super duper fun. Really, really enjoyed it. But at one point, Kyle O'Reilly inadvertently kicked Adam Cole in the face. Orange Cassidy dived out of the way and he kicked him in the head. But then Brandon Cutler came out And then Young Bucks came out, super kicked Best Friends while Brandon Cutler distracted the referee, allowing them to hit Chasing the Dragon for Red Dragon to get the win. But Adam Cole was on the outside being tended by the Bucks, being like, what was that about, man? Kyle, you kicked me in the face. And Kyle's like, oh, I don't know, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to. And then Bobby Fischer's like, guys, we got the win. What's going on? We're all good. We're all chill. Young Bucks are like, screw you guys. So much tension. What the hell's going on, Laurie?
Tension, Pete, is what's going on. So much of it. So much tension.
So much.
Because he got kicked in the face. And then he was annoyed that he had been kicked in the face, despite the fact that obviously these things happen all the time in wrestling. Yeah, I like it. I think this is, if you're going to do a How Will They Coexist story, this makes sense because it is low-level How Will They Coexist. It is not. These are two people who are having a match later. How will they coexist? This is the kind of coexistence that makes sense. This is two different eras of Adam Cole's history in wrestling coming together and both vying for his attention. Why they can't all just be a coexistent team doesn't matter. But I'm excited for the Adam Cole on a pole match that will inevitably come where the Young Bucks and Red Dragon vie for his affection. Who gets to call Bay Baby? That's what I think it's going to be about. I like the kind of love triangle angle here. Like, you know, this kind of everyone's kind of putting aside their stuff. Because the one thing I don't want to see coming out of this is I don't want to just see Cole and O'Reilly go back to what they were doing at the close of NXT. Like, this is the time where the fresh thing to do with them is almost just reform the Undisputed Era, because that's kind of the thing everyone wants to see happen. Mm-hmm. I could happily watch them come out and do that exact same entrance forever for some reason. I don't care what they do in the matches anymore. I just want to watch them come out and do an entrance. And I do want to watch Bucks versus Red Dragon, and then Cole makes his choice and probably gets his revenge on the Elite that way by siding with the Undisputed Era. And then you could do probably a stadium stampede with the Era versus the Elite at some point down the line. I think that's kind of where I'm lying in this. But yeah, I think the intrigue is good. And I think it's what you want to see at this moment, where you don't necessarily want to push Cole to reveal his hand so early in the kind of AEW thing. You want it to kind of happen around a big pay-per-view season. So this is the right thing to be doing, I think.
Absolutely. And the thing for me, this isn't necessarily AEW's fault, but the fact it's another Can They Coexist story, and like you said, it is different because it's not just people that are having a match and, oh no, they've been thrown together in a tag team, how will they coexist? But this is yet another How Will They Coexist storyline. And like the commentary even said ahead of the main event match, well, we'll see if they can coexist. It's like, oh my God. Like, I've heard that word so much in wrestling. Like, even though this is a very well-told and good story, I just feel like it's getting tarnished with the same, like, terrible rag that all the other coexist storylines have. So that, like, by association, it's now worse, even though it is a very good story. And that's really frustrating because I really do like the story, but when I just hear the phrase, it's like, well, can they coexist? I'm like, ugh, I just don't want to hear it anymore.
But they're not really a faction. I get that. That's the thing, is that they're not really a thing. Like, they're two groups that both have Adam Cole in them. They're not like, they're not a cohesive whole yet. They're not the faction. They're trying to build a fact. Like, Kyle is pitching to build a faction, and the Super Click kind of is its own thing. Like, they want it. They want these things to be a faction, but they're not pitching it as a cohesive faction just yet. So I guess, like, the coexist thing, yeah, maybe it's silly to even mention it at this point on commentary, but it was obviously just a bit of a dig and a bit of a joke. But yeah, WWE has driven that joke into the ground, so at this point you are just flogging the dead horse.
Absolutely. But regardless of that, taking that away from it, I think this is a really well-told story, and I think they're doing the whole teasing dissension and not knowing what side Adam Cole is going to pick really, really well. And I personally want to see Adam Cole side with Red Dragon. I really want him to reform Undisputed Era properly, because one, I'm an Undisputed Era mark, always will be, because I love him. But also, I think that's the most intriguing story for them right now. I think Adam Cole going against the Elite is actually, I think, more intriguing than joining with them. I think he's already had his, like, reunion tour of being with the Super Click and being aligned with Kenny Omega and stuff. But I think now the actual interesting story is going Adam Cole versus those guys and seeing that story play out. And whenever Kenny comes back, I know he's probably going to be off for a little bit yet because he had multiple surgeries after Full Gear because he was working with loads of injuries. But when he comes back, his inclusion in this story, I think the natural thing to do is to put him against Adam Cole. And that is a match I really want to see. So I think the natural progression is to have Cole side with Red Dragon. But
yeah, I think because I think if Cole sides with the Bucks here, your problem is that you probably then don't put Cole with Red Dragon at any point because you either have to sort of walk it back as if there was some master plan going on here where Cole sided with the Bucks to get close to Kenny again so he could get his revenge on Bucks and Kenny all the way down the line. Because that's what people want. Like you said, I think the match everyone wants to see is Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole, and Adam Cole essentially kicking Kenny Omega out of the Elite or breaking up the Elite through doing his own thing and screwing them over. That long play of kind of building off the last thing that Adam Cole did before he left the Indies. You do want to see that happen. But if you did it at this point by having him side with the Bucks, then how do we bring Kyle and he'd have to screw over Kyle and Fish to do that? How do you then bring them back into the fold? How do you then make it seem like it was a genius plan rather than just petty siding with the Bucks or something? So like, I feel like he's got to side with them and it has to be at the exact point that you are going to kickstart the storyline with Omega. So that's probably why I think this will they won't they thing will continue until Omega is back properly. Because I think you want that big reveal to happen right in front of Kenny's face. Like him just screwing over the Bucks, like intriguing. I do want to see the Bucks versus Red Dragon. That's like, I really do want to see that. But I want this to happen, this moment of realization that Adam Cole has been playing them all along, to happen right in front of Kenny Omega's face.
That would be really good. But I don't know if they can stretch the story out for that long. So obviously we don't know when Kenny's going to come back. I think the initial reports was that Tony Khan wanted him back in February. But he also said to Kenny, take as much time as you need. So it could be later than that. So I don't know if they can keep kind of like the same plate spinning of will they, won't they, for that long. So they might need to do that reveal earlier to be like, and maybe they have Cole turn on the Bucks and then Cole starts like essentially running AEW without being the champion. He's like, I'm the greatest. I've got my buddies here. He starts racking up all these wins. He's just like, I'm the best person ever. No one can stop me. I'm the greatest. And the Bucks are like, this sucks. We hate our life right now. But then the insertion of Kenny Omega when he does come back is the thing that rejuvenates the Bucks and they become a trio again. And they're the ones that try and take down Cole and take him down a peg. Maybe, you know, Cole is going to go for the AEW world title. And as he's climbing the ranks and maybe he has some sort of number one contendership, like a tournament or a ladder match or whatever it may be, some sort of thing to crown a new number one contender for the AEW world title. And that's when Kenny returns and costs Adam Cole that match, a shot of the gold, to keep Cole away from the title to further that feud. You get a Cole Omega feud, not over the title. That sounds like fun to me. But
yeah, I mean, I guess the one angle we're also not really like talking about here is, does this have to end in a will he, won't he choice? Could this just be a build to a Young Bucks versus Red Dragon match in which they both gain mutual respect for each other and decide that they can both live happily knowing that they share Adam Cole's love?
Yes.
And they can both be his babies. Yeah. Like maybe they can triple date, you know, maybe that's a thing they can do. Like I feel like that's probably the better choice of all this stuff. If you want to make it so that it's going to last until Kenny Omega comes back or whatever, like you do this match that people would like to see. And then you have the handshake at the end of it and that buries the hatchet. And then later on, Adam Cole finds the hatchet and he buries it in Kenny Omega.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, there's so many fun ideas. I love speculating about where AEW is going to go because chances are they're probably going to do something better.
This is why this coexistence stuff actually works, because there is a reason to have friction between this group. There is a reason for everyone to be pissed off at each other. It all builds out of stuff, and then you can manipulate it multiple ways. There are actually multiple endings. In a match in which two people who next week are going to have a championship match and they have to coexist in a tag match, there is only one answer: that they will not coexist. So this is one of those things where actually, like, the breakup of, or the sort of fight between the Bucks and Red Dragon is not definite at all. Adam Cole's leanings are not definite at all. They can go in multiple different ways. There are multiple avenues. Whatever happens will be a surprise. Whereas when Roman Reigns teams with someone that he's going to be fighting against next week, Roman Reigns and that person, they're going to have a little falling out. And that's all that can happen, because WWE has one story and they will drive it into the ground.
Yeah. There's also the angle I just got reminded in the chat, thank you, that the Young Bucks, they acknowledged Hangman when he beat Kenny. And Kenny has gone away and not really acknowledged that whole Young Bucks kind of sort of, they didn't turn on him, but they didn't have his back. You know, they didn't stop Hangman from letting Kenny lose. So maybe Kenny can come back and he can be angry at the Young Bucks. Even more tension. Where's Omega's allegiances lie? We don't know. God, there's so many layers to this story. I love it. And also, just Undisputed Era, isn't it? Just seeing him back is cool. I just really like it.
You would be stupid to not have gone with the hottest thing from NXT for the last like 3 years. That you would just be. I just think you can't have those three guys on your roster and just not put them together.
And whether not or not do
they
it,
have,
right?
Whether or not they have matches together all the time or whatever, like you just can't. You can't basically buy the set and not play with them all at the same time. It's stupid.
Legit. Like, there's a very good reason they were the top guys in NXT for a long time. It's because they were awesome and everyone loved them. Mm. So now you've got
this match proved it as well. Like, this match went to really interesting, cool places. Like, I think the Squiffy finish is fine with me. Like, the Bucks coming in and Cole getting hit, because it does just add a little bit of wrestling flavor to that story. Yeah, it's annoying that this show was just haha heels win with tricks, but you know, whatever. Like, some shows have to be that to build up to bigger and better things. And I think in this case, it works, because it does put a little bit of doubt in your mind about Cole and the Bucks and Red Dragon, because I think before this happened, it felt like Cole was with Fish and then he would be with O'Reilly, and the Bucks were the ones that were getting pushed out. And now that is in doubt.
Exactly. A well-told story.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But let's see what you guys think. Let's get into some of your Ultra Chats here. Send those in at russelltalk.com/support. We'll get through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Peter Mullins said, I think we all know where this is heading. This can't just be me, right? Because if they aren't, then AEW's just crazy. It's right there. I mean, it's right in front of us. Okay, deep breath. I'm putting this out into the universe. Cole on a pole match.
Yeah. Cole on a pole.
Yeah. Adam Pole, baby. It's going to be great. Rangers Mayhem said, with everyone talking about the Young Bucks and the undisputed era fighting over Cole, could there still be a swerve waiting in the wings with Cole turning on both and joining the Kingdom again? Enjoy your New Year's, everyone. I mean, yeah, it's totally possible. Like, with all the Ring of Honor stuff up in the air right now, who knows what's going to happen? The wrestling industry changes every couple weeks, so...
He's been in too many factions, Adam Cole, frankly, hasn't he?
He's had too many friends.
Yeah. He will be the prize for some... He'll be the prize for the Casino Battle Royale or something next year, you know, like that. It won't be an AEW championship shot. It will be you who gets to be friends with Adam Cole.
It'll be great. Colby Dennis said, went to the event live last night and it was awesome. Non-spoiler, the ladies tag team street fight for Rampage was a banger. Match of the night across both shows. Great night of wrestling. I've also heard this, that the women's street fight is really good. Really, really good, apparently. Absolute show stealer. So I'm excited for that, for Rampage. Really glad they got something good because that feud's been going on for about 7 years, I think. So I'm glad they finally had like a big, epic blow off to it. So that's good. Happy for them. Joe Nero West 7, thank you for your generous donation, said, hey Luke and Ollie, come on now. I went to my first live AEW show last night. No spoiler, but you should watch the women's match this week. I loved it. Tony is a great hype man. Good seats, great crowd, great matches. Did you notice that all the matches were won by heels? Yes. Yes, I did.
See.
Yes. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. And Joe Nero West 7 again said, sorry, Laurie and Pete. I wrote Ollie and Luke before the stream started. Not acceptable. Do not accept your apology. It's fine. Thank
Ollie you. And Luke think they're too big time to work in between Christmas and New Year. So, you know.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Precisely. Just think about that when you're fans of them. Just think about it.
Yeah.
They're not fans of you.
We're the underdogs here. Anyway, we'll get into more of your Ultra Chats later on. Keep sending those into wrestletalk.com/support. Let's go through a play-by-play of the rest of the show now, though. Which started off with, welcome back, JR! Back to the commentary team. That was nice. Okay, he announced he was cancer-free, which is awesome. Great to see him back on commentary. Yay for JR. Happy to see him back.
Yay.
That was nice. I also thought, because we've, in years gone by, like since AEW started... You know, salty JR's been a thing, and we've been like, is he really that good anymore? I feel like, in recent months especially, I feel like he's really hit a stride with AEW, and I feel like he now really cares, like, about the roster, and he, like, cares about the product a lot more. So I feel like he's now getting to be, the top-level commentator that we all thought he could be from the start now. Really enjoying JR's commentary lately. Good stuff.
Hey, you've been out of the loop for a while before AEW. So, totally. You've got to find your feet, get used to who all the people are, all the players, all the story. And, you know, JR's always been so good at not just calling the action in the ring, but remembering all the storylines and stuff. And for a long time, AEW didn't have very much storyline to build off that JR would have witnessed happen in front of him. So I think as time's gone on, he's obviously got more and more to draw on and more to say.
This is a quote. This is a quote that I made in 2020. That Michael Cole was better than JR. I do not believe that is the case in 2021. There you go. That's now gone the other way. But the opening match for this show was a 10-man tag match of Jurassic Express, Christian Cage, and the Lucha Brothers versus FTR, Matt Hardy, and Private Party. But Laurie, how will they coexist?
How on earth? How on earth?
How will they?
Badly. Again, badly. That is fine. I like it. I thought this worked here. Like the falling apart of the Lucha Bros and Jurassic Express team worked for me as it kind of becomes about egos and tagging yourself in again. And then it's kind of, I think we all thought we knew that we were headed in the, you know, Jurassic Express are going to take on the Lucha Bros for the titles at some point. I didn't think it was going to be quite so soon as next week, right? Like, is it next week? It's next week. Yeah. So great. I kind of thought Jurassic Express should be the ones to take the titles. So I don't know whether that's going to be, I don't think that's going to be the case, but I feel like it would have been nice to have them kind of on a long build to picking up the belts. But this was perfectly fine to set up that match, as everyone was really over. I thought the match itself was really, really fun. I liked all the work that, you know, FTR did, just beating down everyone that they could. And then you get the kind of crazy Lucha Bros hot tag when they come in, and Jungle Boy is playing off them as well. Annoyingly, AEW production missed two dives, two huge dives from Jungle Boy and Phoenix, which is a bit of a shame. But ultimately, I thought this match was a lot of fun, actually. And like, it's that kind of, it's exactly that sort of AEW show opener that is kind of needed. You just have a bunch of people come out and do a bunch of fun stuff that makes people excited to watch the rest of your show. I just feel like we've kind of been treated to this now as like, this is AEW setting out their stall as like, we're either going to do something very consequential and story driven where someone's going to come out and it's, you know, it's CM Punk. We're not going to make you wait. CM Punk's coming out first thing. He's going to say something really important. Or it is just a really fun match that starts the show off in the first 10 minutes, gets you hyped, leads you into it, keeps your attention. I feel like I buried the lead there. WWE would have just had someone come out and talk for 20 minutes about something. You know what I mean? But it's not.
Yeah.
And they just do that every show. And I think it's nice to see wrestling at the front of a wrestling show.
And this was a very, very fun match. And I think, you know, any minor grievances aside that you have with, yes, another, how will they coexist story? And, you know, that's like every wrestling story going right now. That all just gets kind of diminished and pushed down because you go, well, this was really fun, you know, and you just have fun watching it. So any of those like minor grievances you have just get completely pushed to one side. I thought this was really good. I thought the right person took the pin as well. I know it's a big deal for Christian to take a pin. He's actually been pretty well protected in AEW so far, but having Jurassic Express or Lucha Bros take the pin, I don't think would have been a smart call. And Christian was the one that blind tagged himself in to have that confrontation to start with anyway, and he was the one that got punished for it, which makes a lot of sense to me. And Christian's turning on Jurassic Express, right?
That's the big play later, is to do Jungle Boy versus Christian, right? Like that's a star making match for Jungle Boy. That feels pay-per-view worthy. This is all that long game strategy from AEW of building these guys up really slowly before they get anywhere near proper titles or whatever. And it makes the kind of the clash between the Lucha Bros next week, where I don't think Jurassic Express are going to pick up the belts, worthwhile, because it's going to lead to Jungle Boy getting a kind of move, I guess, maybe a sideways move into the singles division. You never really know, but it'll be interesting to see Jungle Boy kind of get built that way rather than sort of being stuck in a tag division that's kind of already quite bloated. And people like FTR feel like they might need to be a bit more higher up in that picture anyway. Now they've kind of leapfrogged Jurassic Express in my estimations of who should be going up against the Lucha Bros.
Yeah, for sure. After that, we had another decently fun match, I thought, with 2.0 and Daniel Garcia versus Eddie Kingston and Santana and Ortiz. I really liked that Eddie Kingston just wanted Daniel Garcia through this match. He was like, guys, piss off. I don't care about you guys. I just want Garcia. Give me Garcia. The whole time. It was just proper, like, hyper-focusing one in the whole match. It was really cool. Again, I thought the actual in-ring action for this was really good. I wasn't a huge fan of the finish because I think you can do roll-up finishes, especially with, with handful of tights. It's a tried-and-tested finish. It totally works. I just felt like it wasn't built too effectively in this match. It just kind of came out of nowhere and everyone went, oh, wait, what? That's the finish? Huh? And the crowd were like, oh, that's disappointing. Because it was just Santana was there. did like an assisted moonsault, but Matt Lee got his knees up and then just did a roll up with a handful of tights and then they lost. And I was like, that's anticlimactic is what I'd say. Like, I still think you can do that finish because the story surrounding it makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I just thought it was a bit weird.
I thought a lot of this match was quite clunky for me, I think, in terms of storytelling more than anything, because like Eddie came out with this kind of barely controlled rage and then never got tagged in for ages. Like, I feel like he wasn't, Santana and Ortiz just controlled the match and sort of didn't really tag Eddie in, even though he was sort of gagging for it. Even when Garcia came in the first time, like, it should have been a case of like, they know this guy, they know Kingston is raring to get this guy. So why didn't they tag him in as soon as Garcia came in? Even doing the one where they tag him in and Garcia tags himself straight back out, like that, something like that would have at least made it feel part of the storyline. Kingston was so worked up the way he was selling things and yet never really like held out his hand and got tagged in until much later in the match, like too late for almost the impact of kind of the moment between him and Garcia to kind of work, which, you know, you want that, you want to build up to that moment where they both end up in the ring together and the crowd lose their minds because the two guys who have been kept away from each other all match through whatever means finally get in. And this match kind of lacked that dynamic to me. And then, yeah, like the roll-up finish kind of came out of nowhere. Then the bit with the 2.0 and Garcia start to beat down who was in the ring at the time? Santana.
I think it was Santana, yeah.
Yeah, so they tried to lay him out with the ring bell and Kingston rolls into the ring, but he can't really walk because he's been clipped earlier and that felt a bit clunky. And then they clock him and then that brings out Chris Jericho. And this whole bit, all the timing felt a little bit slow and a little bit off and a little bit like all the impact had been sort of sucked out of it by both the roll-up and just sort of the way the finish hung together for me.
Yeah, so we got the return of Chris Jericho here, but he came out after Santana got hit with the ring bell. And then he was like, yeah, I'm here to make the save. And it's like, your mates have already been beaten up. You're a bit late, mate. Like,
they followed through on the plan, dude. They weren't setting up for another one. They'd already done it.
They'd already done it. You're too late. But I'm hoping at least that plays into it because Eddie Kingston then got annoyed at Chris Jericho. And he kind of got in his face and started, you know, trash talking to him. So I'm assuming this is going to lead to a Jericho Kingston match at some point, which I'm all for. That sounds like fun to me. But yeah, I'm hoping at least that Kingston's going to be like, you're late. Why didn't you come out to help earlier? And that can kind of, that makes it make way more sense as to why Jericho came out late here to try and make the save. I don't know where Santana and Ortiz fit in this story though, I'll be honest.
Yeah, well, I guess, well, unless it's just going to be who everyone wants to date, Santana Ortiz now, like, you know what I mean? I don't know, like Kingston Jericho is something I'd like to see. I think they're both also, you want to put Kingston into feuds in which he can talk and the other person can talk back. And this is yet again, another great choice for Eddie Kingston because Jericho is wicked on the mic. So I think they're going to bounce off each other brilliantly. And yeah, I just hope Santana or Ortiz don't just get lost in the shuffle. Like they have been lost in the shuffle in a lot of the matches they've been doing recently. They've been in there with some really big names and all the story has never been about them. So, I mean, you can carry on doing that as well for a little while longer, at least as long as you pay it off with the kind of, oh yeah, we keep getting overlooked. So now's the time to stop overlooking us.
Yeah. I thought they were going to be Lucha Bros opponents, but I guess not.
Well, yeah. that could be a good thing though, Pete. That could mean that's the ones that are going to take the belts off them. That could
maybe,
you know, that could be the thing that's being saved up for a pay-per-view rather than just the first episode on TBS.
Yeah. Well, I have hope.
The mothership.
The mothership. I still have hope that they're going to have a big match against Lucha Bros at some point, but it just feels like they've been completely shafted basically in the whole AEW run. They've just been an afterthought in basically every story they've been in. I think being part of Inner Circle has done them no favors. Basically they've been second fiddle to a lot of what Jericho has been doing as part of Inner Circle, and it's not been great for them, but hopefully they can get their big tag title win at some point. We then got a promo backstage from MJF, who brilliantly said that CM Punk ran away from him last week in the match, which is obviously the opposite of what happened. And he was saying that he's basically done with Punk. You know, he's running away from him. He's a waste of his time. And he was saying that Wardlow is going to be qualifying for the ladder match. I forget the actual name they have for it, but the one that gets you a TNT title match, the grab the revolution, lead the revolution, grab the brass ring match,
Ace of the Revolution,
whatever it is. That one. Sure. Yeah. Whatever it is. Where you get a TNT title shot. But then he said, Wardlow, you need to qualify. I know you're going to win the match, but when you win the match, you have to give that title opportunity to me. And Wardlow was like, wait, what? And he's like, well, you signed the contract, brought in Mark Sterling, who read out the contract. He's like, yeah, any future championships, title opportunities, anything passes and is now property of Maxwell Jacob Friedman. And I was like, oh, Wardlow, you numpty. Oh,
Wardlow, you didn't read it, Wardlow. Read the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, you'll be a human Sentai pad.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was quite effective stuff. Again, just furthering that Wardlow face turn. Mm. And I also really enjoyed just shortly after this, he then had a very quick match against Colin Delaney and won with 4 power bombs, which is fun. I like it. Yeah. Really enjoying this very slow Wardlow face turn. I got a lot of heat last week and I didn't phrase my thing properly because I said that the Wardlow face turn has been coming for ages. And the story has been MJF is like slowly chipping away at Wardlow, and Wardlow's like, oh, that's annoying, and then he'll win a match, and then MJF will do a thing that annoys me, goes, ah, oh, that's annoying, and then he'll win another match, and it's like the same kind of thing the whole time. I said it was WWE-esque in the story, and I don't know if that's technically right, because I am still actually looking forward to the Wardlow face turn. It's not just like boring, you know. I'm still interested in the story, at least. So that's
I mean, this is the benefit of having short and sweet matches, isn't it? Where you just powerbomb a dude 4 times and people enjoy an increasing number of powerbombs, just like they enjoyed an increasing number of German suplexes. Until the German suplexes got too many German suplexes, Pete, and then people were like, actually, Suplex City is too big now. Let's put it away. And, you know, as long as they ride the wave of fan interest correctly, and at the moment I think fans are behind the kind of the Wardlow powerbomb segments. I don't know whether that makes me want to watch a match in which he powerbombs MJF a bunch of times. I don't know. But I would like it to kind of get its payoff and have fun. And, you know, this is at least an interesting wrinkle to the dynamic with Wardlow being in the ladder match. So,
yeah. I'm also just generally about the whole Wardlow thing. I think it's brilliant reactive storytelling from AEW to pick up on the fact that the fans are getting behind Wardlow powerbombing people and be like, make that your thing. Go for it. And then they just keep doing it time and time again. The Powerbomb Symphony. It's good stuff. We then got backstage promo with the Lucha Bros, though they didn't actually say anything before they were interrupted by Jurassic Express and Christian Cage, who said, you can't work together. You're a bad tag team. And they're like, you're a bad tag team. And they say, no, you're a bad tag team. And then they said, let's stop delaying the inevitable. Jurassic Express versus the Lucha Brothers for the AEW World Tag Team Championships next week, where Christian's going to turn heel. That's my prediction.
It's that or they win the belts, Pete. It's that or they win the belts.
They are frigging stacking next week's show. Hot damn, they've got a lot of big matches on next week's episode. I don't know if that's going to really diminish the Battle for the Belts episode, which is like the week after, where it's the concept of Battle of the Belts, like, oh, the belts are on the line. And it's like almost all the belts are on the line the week before. So
I don't necessarily think that matters, Pete. I think the idea is to stack next week, tell everyone about it this week so that all the regular viewers jump ship and watch things on TBS, and hopefully you drag in a bunch of new people, and then the people that you have come and watch the first episode know that the Battle of the Belts, where all the big stuff is happening the week after, you stick around for that. So this all makes sense. I don't think it's going to diminish. It might diminish some of the storylines a little bit if it feels like it's already a foregone conclusion this week, but I think you're putting out the right messages that should hopefully have people watching.
Yeah. We then got the backstage promo with all of the tension between the Bucks and the Undisputed Era lads. We then got a promo, which I have seen very mixed responses for online, with Dan Lambert and Brandi Rhodes. Dan Lambert did a promo where he ragged on Cody and Brandi. People booed him a lot initially, and then they started cheering because he was talking about Cody, and then people realized, like, oh, we don't like Cody, so we're going to cheer this man instead. But then Brandi Rhodes came out, fired back with lines from her promo. Dustin Rhodes came out, got attacked by Men of the Year, and that was a segment. So, Laurie, what did you think of this promo segment? Because I've seen a hella mixed opinions online about this.
I liked it. I've been saying, for, you know, the few AEW bits I've done recently, I've been saying I like Dan Lambert. I think he's got the right kind of heat for what he's doing. Like, it's not go away heat. He's got people don't like the things that he says heat. And that works for me. I think he is good on the mic. I think he's got good put downs. He dances around the line a little bit. Sometimes he wobbles over. Sometimes he's just towing it perfectly. I liked it. I thought the stuff he said got people fired up. I thought that gave Brandi a really good excuse to come out and get involved. And I thought her promo was good. I thought the back and forth between the two of them was well written, well thought out. Some killer lines in there. Dustin coming out and sort of getting in the way. Yeah, to me, should have been Cody. Like, I don't know why Cody didn't run out. It's his wife. Like, that's also got more potential in it to me of, like, you know, why aren't, like, Brandi was quite capable of dealing with this. I guess that is the direction they could go with Dustin as well, though, is like, Brandi said she was capable of dealing with this on her own, so why did you get involved and get your ass kicked? Maybe it leads to Cody Dustin too. Maybe that's something that happens down the line. Like, but for now, I enjoyed this bit. I thought that I just thought it was well delivered. It turned around the expectations from people, I think, to a degree as well, because I think people were sort of down on it. And yeah, the kind of I think both Brandi and Dan did a really good job at sort of not winning over the crowd, but getting the crowd to react in the way in which the crowd was supposed to react.
Yeah. I enjoyed this segment. I can see why a lot of people find that Dan Lambert can be problematic at times with some of the stuff he says, and I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. Maybe less about, like, you know, Brandi is a stripper name. It's like, okay, but just whatever. But I thought some of the comebacks from both of them I thought were pretty good in this segment. Like, I was pleasantly surprised, because when I saw Brandi coming out, I was like, this is probably not going to be very good. But I thought she was really good in her retorts and stuff on this segment. Calling him a less talented version of Paul Heyman was good. You know, when's the last time he got beaten up by a woman and didn't have to pay for it is quite funny.
Exactly.
You know, I thought it was a nice little promo segment. Yeah, but my one question coming out of this was, where the hell's Cody?
Yeah,
That's your wife, my dude. Also, that's your brother. Just got beaten up. Mm. Where you at, Cody? So maybe that'll play into it. I don't know.
The heel turn continues, Pete. But yeah, I think this is the thing with, like, I think this is the thing with Dan Lambert, right? Like, he is saying problematic things, and he's doing it on purpose. And this bit of the show, he came out, he said a bunch of stuff that was, like I said, dancing around the line. And Brandi came out and called him a sleaze. You know, that is essentially what happened, is like, the man came out, said a bunch of stuff that you go, oh, I don't like the fact that you're saying that. That made you angry at the man, which is his job because he's a bad guy. And then Brandi came out and pointed at the man and said, you're disgusting. That makes sense. I don't know. Like, there's nothing, like, he's acting. Like, there's nothing wrong with this as a promo section. You're meant to, like, you as a heel, you do have to sort of go, like, wander up towards the line and see how far you can kind of push it. I don't think this went too, like, you know, maybe the stripper stuff it's a bit like, you know, and the speaking of horse stuff was a bit like, it is pushing it quite far, but it's fine because it makes you think, okay, well, this guy's a dickhead. And then Brandi coming out and playing along and cutting him down, and then being like, I'm going to fight you and your two mates. Like, this all played perfectly well to me, I think.
I don't know where this is going. Well, I mean, we've got the TNT title match on Rampage between, I think it's Ethan Page that's fighting Cody on Rampage.
Yep.
Which is something. I don't expect Page to win. I don't know where it's going after that. I don't know if this will be, like, remembered, if this is going to be an important story beat or anything, or there's just, like, you know, this was a segment that furthered that match. I don't know. But I would have, if this segment was literally just to build the TNT title match on Rampage between Cody and Page, I would have much rather that Cody been involved rather than Brandi. Because I think that's a disconnect between what's happening and what they're talking about. But whatever.
This is going to lead to a Brandy versus Dan Lambert match, though. So that's.
I mean, that's where this is going. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. Hangman and Danielson, we got a video package for them because they're having their rematch next week. I'm really quite excited for their rematch. I didn't think I would be because it'd be so soon. Yeah, I thought it's too soon after their other one. I thought, and then I saw the video package. I was like, but they're good, aren't they? So it's going to be a good match. So I am excited, very excited for it.
Who's going to win though, Pete? Who's going to win?
I don't know, Laurie.
I think it's going to be Danielson.
You reckon?
Yeah, because you can protect the hell out of Hangman with three judges picking because they could have been bribed. They could have been anything. Like, yeah. I think Hangman's better on the chase. He's much better chasing the belt than he is with the belt. And
I agree.
You know,
and
like
I think that every AEW world champion has had a very, very long reign so far. It might be time for someone to have a short one. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Because it might be worth it to pay off further on Hangman's story, to have Hangman have a long reign, to prove that he is, you know, champion material and stuff, and he can be world champion.
Stick that man straight back in and
have him do the same story again.
Have him do a different story. But, like, you know, the same sort of has to build his way up to the title. I don't know. He's much better at that.
Yeah. Speaking of titles, we got the TBS tournament semi-final match between Thunder Rosa and Jade Cargill. I really liked this match. This was the longest we've seen Jade Cargill have a match for. And I think there was a lot of question marks surrounding her being like, can she actually have like a really long match? Because a lot of her stuff has been very quick, squash matches, stuff like that. I thought she looked great in this match. Thunder Rosa worked over her knee a lot through this, and her selling of the knee I thought was really good. There was a lot of like subtle sells of the knee through the match, as well as the more like overt stuff of her like not being able to walk properly and stuff like that. It was a really good like blend between the two, so I didn't really see any issues with Jade Cargill at all. She's not perfect by any means, she's still a little bit green. There's a couple of things that you know can be tweaked and improved, but that could be said of most wrestlers. You know, they improve over time. That's just what happens. So I thought she looked great. There was an awesome looking pump kick in this. Fantastic stuff from Thunder Rosa, where she just like folded in half from this like pump kick from Cargill. It was really cool. And then we got the finish of this one, where a masked figure comes in, smashes something, I didn't even see what it was, over Thunder Rosa's head while the referee is distracted, and Jade Cargill hits Jaded and wins via cheating. And then it's revealed to be Mercedes Martinez, who is now All Elite. She's made her return to the company. Because she was in the Battle Royal originally in like 2019, I want to say. And then went over to WWE, then it's left WWE. Now she's back in AEW. I thought it was an effective debut. Ruby Soho came out to protect Thunder Rosa from further beatdown because it's going to be Soho versus Cargill in the final next week. What do you think of the pairing of Martinez with Jade Cargill?
I don't know, really. I feel like Cargill doesn't need to be paired. Like, I feel like it's almost doing her a disservice to pair her up with somebody and sort of, I mean, that's a good way of hiding the kind of greenness with her, putting her with someone who is literally one of the longer tenured veterans in the kind of women's wrestling world, in Martinez, who is also hard as nails. And that, you know, maybe that could work about it. But yeah, I feel like you kind of almost like the kind of character you want Cargill to look like is almost diminished by having a minion. Do you know what I mean? Like, or having I feel like this might just be more of a case of Martinez is setting something up for a future plan or a future play, or she's going to work separately with Smart Mark. I don't know. Like, I feel like her being on his books but a separate kind of entity works, as long as she's not always there to back up Jade. But it does add a bit of intrigue to next week. And yeah, like you said about the match, I think the match was really well worked. I really liked all of Thunder Rosa's like working over the leg as well. There was a really great moment where she sort of swung one of Cargill's right leg through the ropes and then just like knelt down and just punched her in the left leg a bunch of times and then did all of her drop kicks into it. I just thought it was like quite inventive little bits of offense. It was like, it was twisting her regular move set, but it was also adding a bunch of like new stuff that just made sense to do in a working over match. And yeah, again, really good example of the kind of chopping down the bigger person in a wrestling match stuff here. And yeah, I thought Cargill's selling of the selling of the leg was really good. Some of the offense a little bit to me didn't necessarily work. You know, like doing the torture rack and bouncing on the leg and being like, "Oh, that hurt. I'll do that again. Oh, that hurt again. Oh, things like that." But then it builds, I guess, like the kip up and stuff. Maybe builds into the idea of Jade being like believing too much that she's invincible because she's so big and so strong. With the Martinez thing, I don't want them to be a pairing beyond maybe like next week. I hope that they kind of go off and do their own things because, yeah, what you want to see is them two together like in a match and not. So maybe Martinez messes up helping Cargill. Ruby Soho is crowned TBS champion and then Cargill and Mercedes can have a match.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. I don't think that there should be a pairing going forward. I'm hoping that it's just going to be like, you know, Sterling has brought in Mercedes to ensure that Jade Cargill wins the TBS championship and then she can, you know, go on away. She's just for temporary hire kind of thing. Because I think, yeah, Cargill doesn't need a second, shouldn't have a second for the character they want to put to portray. I think it would take away from her character. It wouldn't aid her at all. So yeah, I'm hoping, but I am glad to see Martinez in the company again, because I think she is pretty good. And the, you know, more women's wrestlers they get, hopefully more women's matches soon. Now you've got the AEW women's title and you've got the TBS championship that's going to be introduced next week. Good. More women's stuff, please. That'd be great. Speaking of women's stuff, we had a little recap of Chris Statlander and Layla Hirsch. There's stuff from Rampage. Got a video package for Baker versus Riho, which is taking place at Battle of the Belts. That's fun. And then we got a in-ring promo from CM Punk, who came out, spoke about JR, spoke about Brody Lee, and spoke about MJF. It was a fun little promo, I thought. He says he's looking at bigger things, and he says, you know, if MJF says I'm a waste of time, cool, I don't have to interact with MJF anymore. That's fine, we can move on to other things. Heard MJF say that he wants to get a world title, though. I also want to get a world title. Wouldn't it be a shame if someone interrupted MJF's pursuit for the title? I'm like, so you're not done with MJF then, are you, Punk? Come on, mate. Just be upfront about it. I thought this was fun. It's not the white-hot material you'd expect for a CM Punk promo against MJF, but it was okay.
Yeah, I don't think this was... I think this was meant to almost cool off the kind of the heat between the two of them for a little while, maybe. Like, I don't know whether or not that means that CM Punk's going to enter into getting into Wardlow's way because of, you know, it's Wardlow that's going to kind of pursue some gold for MJF, or, you know, this could mean multiple different things. But this was just, isn't it nice that CM Punk's at Daly's place to have to talk about nice things like Brody Lee and to talk about JR and to tell Brad Shepherd he's a dickhead? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what he's here for. So, yeah, what more do you really want from this section? Because, yeah, it didn't really advanced too much. It just suggested a little bit of something that might be to come, like CM Punk harassing MJF, which could be a lot of fun. But yeah, it didn't need to be necessarily much more than this.
Yeah. Also, nice little line from him being like, he's gonna see that on this mic, in this ring, even a commentary, nobody can touch me. I was like, that's the thing, that's from the pipe bomb. I know that line, Punk. I'm such a mark. We then got a promo from Starks and Hobbs saying they don't like Dante Martin. Cool. Sammy Guevara during the picture-in-picture had his card saying he wants to win his TNT title back. Good luck with that one, buddy. I'm sure that will go well.
Don't like the cards. Don't like the whole thing.
No, I'm not Rubbish. A huge fan either. Yeah.
No wonder they put it picture-in-picture.
Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida are going to have another match. Just give them a proper blow-off match. That's what everyone wants.
No.
They're good. Just give them a good match, please. Thanks. Then Brian Pillman Jr. had an in-ring promo saying that Malakai Black tried to end Griff Garrison's career. His vision went black last week. And now next week, you're going to see a brand new Brian Pillman Jr. And then Malakai Black came on the stage and pointed at him. And they're going to have a match next week. It's not going to go very long, is it? It's going to be very quick.
I don't like Pillman on the mic. Not a fan. His delivery is a bit wonky,
weird cadence.
And over exaggerates the Like, I mean, they're being like, and then I don't know, my vision just went black. Do you know, it's all just a bit Amdram, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
But I don't have much memory from that time. And my vision, it went black.
Yeah. Proper,
goodness
like,
gracious.
B-level superhero movie delivery, that one. That's good. Yeah. Sure. I'm curious to see where the House of Black stuff is going. I do also want it to get there at some point, because I feel like it's been going for like a month now, and we're not actually any closer to seeing what the House of Black stuff is about. So if we can do that, that'd be nice. We've got Cody Rhodes versus Ethan Page on Rampage, and we've also got Darby Allin versus Anthony Bowens as well on Rampage. They got little promos. The Acclaimed and Sting and Darby Allin got promos. Thought they were good stuff. And we've got Penelope Ford and the Bunny versus TJ on Rampage, which apparently is awesome. So that's good. Looking forward to that. And then we had the main event that we've already discussed of the Best Friends versus the Disputed Era. So overall, this episode of AEW Dynamite is not as good as normal, but still good. Like, the bar they set is so high that even on a show like this, which is perfectly good, it's still not as good as normal. So I've seen a lot of people give it a 3 out of 5. I've been run down by Raw and NXT this week, and I just enjoyed myself watching the show, so I gave it a 4, because I just had so much fun watching it, because it's a lot of really fun matches, and a lot of people are really like watching wrestle. So it's a 4 for me, but I can totally see why people would rate it differently.
Yeah, I think we're just not in the necessarily the payoff period of AEW at this exact moment in time, are we? We are in the setting up a bunch of stuff for future, putting a little few ripples out to see kind of what sticks. And yeah, like setting up a bunch of kind of last minute-y seeming matches, which is perfectly fun. This was, you know, the benefit is that there was really good wrestling around some storyline that was all good, but wasn't great. Like, there was nothing transcendent here and nothing that was like coming to the kind of conclusion. But I think this is one of those things that you know, AEW instills the confidence in you, I think, to at least think that the things that have been done this week will eventually come back to mean something at a later point. And when they do, we'll be like, oh, do you remember when they did that thing ages ago where Kyle O'Reilly kicked Adam Cole on the head? How brilliant was that? Because that was all the thing, the little pin that this was all stuck to. Like, there will be a reason why this is good, hopefully. So yeah, I enjoyed the episode immensely. It was just kind of mostly inconsequential.
Yeah.
No harm in that.
Yeah. According to the community tab poll that we put up earlier today, 54% of people voting for a 4 out of 5 show, AEW Sim, which I think is fair. 25% going one higher with a 5 out of 5. 16% doing a 3 out of 5. 2 and 3% for 2 and 1 out of 5, respectively. So I think, yeah, that very much skews it kind of where we were saying in kind of that 4, 3, 4, 5 range.
Yeah, you just got to believe that I don't believe in 5 out of 5. So 3 out of 5 is good for me. 3 out of 5 is 3 out of 5 for me is your 4 out of 5, guys.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here, we do have to say thank you to some special people. Not our $25 and above Patreon pledge hammers, but our lovely moderating team. Need to give them some shout-outs because they are wonderful. I don't know if you've got the list up in front of you, Laurie, but we're going to read out all of their names. No, of course you don't.
It's on the wrong computer. Podcast.
It's on, it's on the podcast chat. It's on Discord if you've got Discord open. It's there if you want to. I'll read them out. It's fine. Don't worry, Laurie. I got it.
I'll get there. Hang on.
You clap.
You crack
just
on.
Clap,
you crack
Laurie.
On.
I'll okay. Read the names out. You just clap, all right?
I'll just clap.
So I want to say thank you to Amanda. Yay. Andy. Yay. Brandon. Yay.
Yay.
Chris P. Yay. Chris R. Yay. Gregory. Yay. John. Yay. Les. Yay.
Yeah.
Nad. Yay. Richard. Yay. And Rob. Yay.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you to our lovely moderation team. Without them, we could not do these bloody streams because they do a lot for us. They curate all the so ultra chats. Guys. They help us out in the live chat to make it a nice place for you guys to be. It's just they're great. We love our moderation team. Thank you so much. Love that. Anyway, last of your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support. So we're going to read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. So, got one here from Kevin May that says, "Hello, I love AEW, and it rarely has something I dislike. However, I actively hate all the Dan Lambert stuff. I will either mute the sound or change the channel for a few minutes. Compounded by Sky and Ethan acting like madcap friggin' Moss. No, no, no."
They are overselling it. But how can you know you like it, you dislike it, if you're muting it?
You checkmate. Like something
good. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I will say, I don't know how it works, because Madcap Moss doing that overselling and laughing and falling around and stuff really grinds my gears. Scorpio Sky falling around, falling on the floor and like grabbing the ropes when Dan Lambert was talking, I was like, that's funny. I don't know why it works for one and not the other. It just did. All right.
Well, it helps that what Dan Lambert's saying are actually constructed jokes.
That's fair.
That do land every so often, whereas what Baron Corbin is saying is just bad.
Sure is. So. Yeah, it's not good. Kevin May again said, many positives, though. So happy to see Mercedes Martinez with AEW. Foe disputed with Elite has such history. Jade is getting better each time we see her. Eddie will hopefully destroy Jericho. And as always, the matches were brilliant. Take care, everyone. You take care too. Yeah, no, I agree with all of those positives as well. Nate S said, had such a great time at the show last night. Pete, I may have slid in your DMs and sent a video of Undisputed Era. I haven't seen that. Tony Khan is such a great promoter. He comes out before and after the shows and really gets the crowd fired up. It's awesome to see his enthusiasm. He seems like a good guy.
Just a man playing with his wrestling set.
Literally, it's like
a very rich man who, rather than buying toys, has bought the real people.
Yeah.
Bless his little heart.
Carol Wands Rowcroft has been a Memberg for 8 months. Thank you so much for being in a Memberg. Very cool. Hey, Pete and Laurie, love the Punk promo last night. Popped loud for Heyman mention. Can't wait for MGS versus Punk. CM Chris will be happy. I'm a fan now. Nice. That's very good. Yeah, I thought the Punk promo was good. Danny Torkel says, who do you have in Danielson Hangman 2? I don't know. There is part of me that sees Danielson Punk a too-good-to-pass-up pay-per-view main event for Revolution. Maybe Mox returns to cost Hangman. WrestleTalk helped me through an awful year. Happiest New Year's. Happy New Year to you as well. I'm not going to put any timeline on the Mox return because I have no idea when that will be. And we don't know. So he'll return whenever he returns. Mm-hmm. But
I think
I don't know.
I'm leaning towards Danielson.
Mm.
They've just moved channel. They've just moved channel to a channel with a bigger audience. They've got a guy who is famous from elsewhere, like one of the biggest names in wrestling. This is the same decision almost as putting Jericho as the first AEW champion over Hangman. It's there is a business decision behind this to make. And to me, yeah, I think Hangman is so fine on the chase and so good at it that you could do this without necessarily damaging him too much. And yeah, Danielson as the champion is money, I think.
I agree. I think Danielson as champ is hella good. Also, he's been putting on some of the best frigging matches I've ever seen since he's joined AEW. So if he can do more of those... Thanks. Insert name here said, I hope with the new year and the move to TBS that AEW will stop giving promo and segment time to Dan Lambert, more time to the women. That's my only true complaint about AEW. More women's matches, less Dan Cornette.
He's in your head. He's in your head, though. If you want him to go, he's in your head, guys. That's why he's good, because he's got you. You don't like him. You want him to go. That's his job.
More time to the women, though. Yes.
But more time to the women, I do actually agree with. Yeah.
Yes. James Handley says, jam thy jam, you beautiful bastards. The exchange between Brandy and Lambert was the shrug emoji in promo form. It was fine, but I have no interest in the feud at all. The problem I always had with Brandy is that her persona just switches to fit a narrative.
That's I think fair. That's a fair criticism.
Yeah.
She's not really been an established character, really, long enough to... No. to. She's either Brandy, the wrestler, Brandy, the manager, or Brandy, the wife of Cody Rhodes. That's... Mm-hmm. And all three of those are different people.
Yeah, definitely. James Hanley again said, I'm bad at fantasy booking, but like a real fan, I'm going to do it anyways. What if while Omega is out, the Bucks, Cole, do get closer, which alienates Red Dragon more, and Omega, who finally sees that the Bucks screwed him, aligns with Red Dragon?
Ooh.
It's kind of fun. Not going to lie.
Mm.
I mean, maybe, right?
Maybe. Are they... Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's the one thing we didn't see coming, so which means they're going to change it because now we've James saw it coming.
Yeah.
It's like the end of Game of Thrones, right? It's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Eight Young Nasty Man 8 said, Reynolds and Silver to win the Tag Team Casino Battle Royal for possession of Adam Budge Cole. Perfect. Yep, that would be a great story with no flaws. Budge. Diego Chacon Villamizar. Sorry if I butchered that one.
He almost certainly did.
Mm. OMG, today's podcast will be done by Pete and Laurie. How will they coexist? Guys, best wishes for the new year. Stay safe. You too. Thank you so much. I feel like we coexisted pretty well today, Laurie. I'll be honest.
Yeah, we did all right.
We've done all right. Yeah.
It's because we're not in person, because otherwise I've been trying to super kick you the entire time, Pete, but you're not here. You've not been hearing my leg slaps.
Or anyone who normally super kicks me is more just known as a kick. Because you don't really have to get your leg that high. It's more of just a little like punt, you know?
Yeah.
Self-deprecating height joke, just so you can't make it. Anyway, I think that's it for the Ultra Chats for this episode, and that's going to do it for the episode as a whole. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Thank you for sticking through this week of me doing the podcast. We're going to be back to normal next week. There's going to be no Friday show tomorrow. There's going to be no Saturday shows because it's New Year's Day, but there will be an edited review for day one. No live reactions for day one either, but there will be an edited review that Ollie's going to do on Sunday on the main WrestleTalk channel for day one. And then we're going to be back to normal with all the content, all the regular teams back doing their thing in time for New Year. Have you got any plans for New Year's? Because that's tomorrow, hot damn.
I'm doing the news. I'm chuffed about it. Absolutely chuffed. Chuffed to pieces. Apparently wrestling doesn't stop. Why does it not stop? What is wrong with it? Why does it think it's so important that it has to go on between Christmas and New Year? Just piss off, wrestling. No one needs you right now.
It's an essential business, mate.
Stupid waste of time is what I think. Stupid waste of my... Like, who cares what's going on in wrestling this week? Guys, what are you doing? Like, Blooming Tony Storm, whatever. we could pick that up January 2nd, like everyone else. January 3rd, even.
Yeah, that's a Monday.
It's going to be January 4th because Monday's a Blooming Bank holiday. I'll see you then. We'll talk about it then. What are we doing now? Why are we wasting our time talking about? I know it's our job, Pete, but why are we doing it? What does it matter? Take some time off.
I feel like this is some. This is some prime content.
Didn't stop drinking the wine, Pete. Didn't stop drinking the wine.
So you're thrilled about doing the news tomorrow is what I'm picking up. Yeah. And not to bog down this whole podcast with like admin or whatever, but also I'm technically working tomorrow, but literally the only thing I'm currently down to do is to sign off the news video once it's done. And that's it. So... Maybe if you did that, then I just wouldn't work tomorrow, maybe.
No, but I want you to get my images as well, Pete.
I'm not down for images.
Why am I down for images and doing all of it? Since when is that a thing?
That's what I had to do this week, man. So
Jenna, I am getting robbed here. I want to file a full. I hope you're listening, Jenna, because I want to file a formal complaint about the schedule. One. Why is there a schedule for the week in between Christmas and New Year? Mm-hmm. One. Two, why am I doing my own images? I don't want to do them. I refuse to do them. There'll be no images in the news tomorrow. That's what's happening.
Cool.
It would just be...
Love it.
And I might not even put my face in it. I might just do it as VO on a blank background. Are we good with that?
Just the WrestleTalk logo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
why
perfect.
Not? Some other yeah. smaller channels do that sort of thing all the time. Just stick one image up and talk over the top of it. Why are we yeah. wasting time with green screen? Ugh. Just get existential at this time of year, Pete, you know?
Like... I've noticed, you know, I was picking that up just a little bit. But we've got some exciting things happening in the new year, I think, maybe. Because we've got, like, I don't know, maybe on, like, the Christmas special, we mentioned that, like, the studio was changing. I don't know whether yeah. that's still happening in January, but...
I guess we'll wait and see for the surprise lockdown that might be coming our way. But if there isn't a lockdown, I mean, even if there is a lockdown, we might still... we are in the works of... revamping the entire studio. That is probably going to take place mid-January is what I'm currently working towards.
That's good.
With the person designing it. That's I mean, kicking off the new year in a fairly interesting way. We'll see what
that's
it looks
good.
Like. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be rubbish. You never know.
Have you seen any of the Christmas special back?
No, I haven't watched it, no.
Oh, man.
Why would I watch that back?
It's not a good video.
We've never made a good one. This is the thing. Yeah. I turned up honestly like an hour before that, so there wasn't and they were doing a podcast record, and there wasn't enough time to fix the audio because I live in a different part of the country, so can't fix the audio until then. And also, there's something wrong with OBS. So if anyone knows anything about OBS causing random echo. Tweet me and let me know, because I've looked it up everywhere I can, and people say it happens, it's at random, and what's the solution? That's what I need.
Nada.
What is
there isn't one.
What is the solution to this problem? Because we had the same thing with the bloody Rode mics, and we tried to use those for the SummerSlam stream, say that 10 times fast, where halfway through it just randomly echoed every so often, and then stopped doing it, and then started doing it again. OBS, piece of...
Sort it out, mate. What we need to do is create our own streaming software, because genuinely that might be easier than trying to figure out a solution for OBS. That's what we need. And then it won't have any problems.
We could use one of the other ones, I guess. It's another thing we could try doing. But
there are other ones?
Some of them you have to pay for. They might even be good. I don't know.
What? That's crazy talk. Paying money for a thing that works? That's,
don't believe it.
That's insane.
Now Pete understands the battle I've had with Ollie Davis for the last 3 years since I worked here. Have you thought about spending money on things?
In fairness, he's been good in the last couple months.
He broke. When he finally broke, Pete, and I spent years working on that, he broke and he gave me the company credit card details, which I will now read for you.
Oh, goodness me. He's been a big spender the last couple of months. You know, we all got upgrades to our home... setups, got a bunch of new equipment, got loads of stuff for the studio and the office and all that stuff. It's been going real good lately. It's been very nice to have what we want. And also, there's going to be more things, maybe, fingers crossed, that's going to happen in 2022 that might involve a bit more money and also might be more fun content. Not for any of the wrestling channels, but maybe for No Rolls Barred. There might be a little thing that's happening. Maybe. I don't even know if you know about it, Laurie. It's fun. But I'm potentially very excited about it. Can't wait. I like board games. Do you like board games?
God, no.
Every time.
I keep losing them, so no.
Yeah, you do. You're rubbish. Because no one listens to you in Clock Tower. That's the main thing.
Ways, Pete. Two different ways. On day one, I could have won that. And bloody Carly voted against it. And then she won for herself.
How dare she? On that note, we're going to wrap up this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate you. We're going to be going back to normal-ish content from next week, because it's in the new year and stuff. So we're going to have a day one review. I don't know if there's a podcast review or not of day one coming next week. But then there will be stuff like Raw with Ollie and Luke. whoa, they're going to be back from like next week. So we're going to have like our normal podcast setups and teams and everything. We're going back to normal, loads more content, and we're going to be on the road to WrestleMania because we're going towards the Rumble.
Yeah. This is going to get good again.
Yeah, we're going to have a Jamble live reaction stream with all the chaos that we had from this year. We're doing it again. It was fun. So stay tuned for all that content coming soon. Appreciate you guys checking the podcast out. Stay safe. We love you very much. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.